Singler from the right side. Swings, drives one to left field. Does he get the run home? Back goes Taylor. Turns, makes an over-the-head catch for the out, but no chance to get the run home. It's a sacrifice fly, and the Red Sox lead for the first time today, 3-2.
And the Sox now one half game back in the final wild card. 68 games left. Home Run Derby tonight featuring Wilson Contreras. That starts at 8. Brought to you by Carlisle Lumber, 100% owned and operated. Are you looking to transform your living space? Visit CCL Homescapes in Abington. Expert kitchen design, custom closets manufactured, designed, and installed. Get inspired in their fresh showroom or start your project online, cclco.com. I'm Ken Laird. That's what's in the feed at WEI.
I don't care what people say, but the SpongeBob musical is the greatest I've ever seen.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
I was quoting Bob Ryan there. That is not my hot take. Although from what I heard, it's pretty fantastic. It is Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, and the return of our buddy Ted Johnson. What's up, Teddy J?
What's up, boys? How are we doing,
Speaking
Rich?
Speaking of fantastic, Ted Johnson, how about that?
Good to see you guys. I missed you, boobies. I'm glad you guys didn't screw up too bad while I was gone.
Arcan was trying to strip your name off the show and put his on it.
Was he really?
You believe that?
Yes. Not surprised. Not surprised. Dude, you got a, I mean, you talk about a snake in the grass. So good. I'm glad you confessed that to me. I had a feeling he might. So,
you kicked him out like that bison at Yellowstone Park. You just came in with the horns and boom.
I thought that was fake. That was not fake.
I think so.
That is
unbelievable. The way he was ejected into the sky. Like, it was like, I've never seen anything like that. It wasn't just like this. If you didn't see the video, there's this bison that's just lying on his side, and some dude drives past him. I think it's at Yellowstone, and he's got this truck, and it kind of revs him up, but there happens to be this guy who's walking around about like 20 yards away, and this bison starts chasing him around a tree, and when it hits this fat dude, he like goes 8 feet into the air.
You don't have to call him fat now. The guy's got a bad enough day going on. Yeah.
The bison was hell-bent on making sure he got to the guy because they kind of went in circles around these trees, and you could see the trees rustling. You're like, holy crap. Eventually, that bison caught him, man, and just sent him in the air. So, yes, that's Arcan. Just look at that video before I see you next, man. That's going to be you, pal.
That dude's got to be so jacked up. It's funny because that reminds me of the stunt that, you know, Johnny Knoxville – he said out of all the things he's ever done in Jackass, the one thing that wrecked him the most and he spent the most time in the hospital and that like really kind of ruined his body was that one stunt where he was in the rodeo and he got flipped over by that bull.
Yep.
He didn't go anywhere near as high as this guy did. I hope the man's okay. Because he wasn't the one effing with the thing. It was the guy in the truck who like riled him up. So it wasn't like justice.
How about every single bull rider you ever see has those like Brian Cox neck rolls that they have to wear because of how dangerous that sport is. It's crazy, man. Yeah. And what is a good score? 7 seconds if you're on that thing for 7 seconds.
I think
8 is like that's when you're like a god.
Matter
of fact, the only reason I know that is I saw the Luke Perry movie 8 Seconds.
That's right,
where he played a bull rider. Ted?
Yes.
While you were gone. These Red Sox, huh?
How about this? How about this?
I said it on Friday. I said that, you know, for all this time, they had our curiosity. Now they have my attention.
Yes.
Just like Leonardo DiCaprio in the Django Unchained.
Yep.
You know what? Let's get to what happened yesterday, shall we, Stiz? Let's let it roll, buddy.
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes, it did. And sports happened. Brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you gotta get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Like that scene in the movies where the ugly girl takes off the glasses and is suddenly hot? Your Boston Red Sox have taken off their glasses, and now they are Charlize Theron. Let the clip roll, baby.
Another 3-2 pitch up coming with a tying run at second in the 10th. The pitch. Swinging a bouncing ball to first, grabbed by Montecerio. 3 steps to the bag, it's over. The Red Sox have won it. They sweep the Mets, they sweep the trip. They go 9-0 on a road trip for the second time in their history, the first time since 1977. An improbable comeback win as they beat New York in 10 innings, 3-2. Can you believe it?
Okay. I can't. As much as it was awesome hearing the legend call that, I wanted to hear a Willgasm so bad.
Well, Will took an early vacation. The Willcano was off. I don't know what happened.
Because Fleming would have lost it. You know, Ted, there was a game last week where the Red Sox won. I think it was when they swept. It was the final game of the White Sox series, I believe. And you actually could hear Will Fleming high five, I think it was Middlebrooks, in the booth. You could hear them actually high five each other, and it made the air. But how about this, man? Your Red Sox now third in the AL East and a half game out of the playoffs. How the hell did we get here? How about a 9-0 road trip, which is the franchise's first since 1977? Three cities, three time zones, three sweeps. Angels, White Sox, Mets. On top of that, the stuff they used to suck at, they're getting good at now, such as being 0-43 this season when trailing after eight innings before yesterday's massive comeback win. You also got to see the return of Brian Bayo, who gave them like 4 1/3 innings in a piggyback role. But what's crazy was that, like,
maybe that's his new role. That might be his new role.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it could be. Listen, if it works, it works. All I know is that, like, you know, the rookie Thornton, who was on the mound, dominated them for 7 scoreless. Mm-hmm. And then the Sox just, I know they were one clean Lindor play from a shutout dud going into the break, but mm-hmm. the team is just finding ways to win. And Chad Tracy could not be happier. Let's play the clip, shall we?
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen today. I mean, theoretically, we could end up, you know, in a wild card spot if things go our way. But to be where we're at right now, based on where we're at 3 weeks ago, you couldn't ask for much more. So the key is now, I told them that too. Part two is we got to be ready to go when the second part of the season starts.
Get a little over our skis, settle down.
Get on the Tracy train. Come on,
68
Teddy.
Games left there, Chad. Don't be talking about the wild card. I just, you know, I don't mean to, you know, pee in your cereal here, but just, you know. 9 wins on the road is impressive. It really is. I mean, that's an incredible, you know, accomplishment. But the combined record of all those three teams that they played they're under 33 games under 500 with the of those three teams. So those were bad teams that they were beating up on. And I don't know. I mean, if you look at the historically, this is what the Red Sox do going into the All-Star break. They seem to go in with these kind of these leads, you know, 8-1. In their last 9 games in 2023, before they entered the All-Star break in 2024, they were 10-3 going into the All-Star break. 2025, 12-1 and 10-0 leading into the All-Star break, and then of course 14-2 going into the All-Star break this year. We will see. I worry about the momentum. They were clearly using momentum to get these 9 wins in a row. With this little break, I worry about them coming back. Obviously, you got Tampa Bay, which leads the division. I look at the lineup and I go, really? Are we feeling good about, you know, Monasterio and Gonzalez and Siegler? Are these and Eden? Are these going to be the guys that are going to get you there?
At least these guys care, though. Don't you give them that? Like Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer are gone. At least you probably played with guys like this, Ted, that were just above their level for even if it's a short period of time. But what has Siegler brought to this team? Yep. Like just a little bit of. Want.
I just can we admit though that this can't be sustainable, right? I mean we don't know these guys. I mean I can't imagine. I mean, my guess is these guys are come up here and they're just like their hair's on fire and they're, you know, Siegler especially bringing the energy.
He might be legit good.
But okay,
he's a former first round pick. I mean, maybe he just took him a while.
I just feel like maybe you're right, Ken. Maybe I just feel like eventually these guys are going to hit a wall, and this momentum that they've been riding is not going to last as long as we like to think it will.
You know what? I'm not going to dismiss that White Sox sweep. I think that, I mean, that was a team. They were one of the hottest teams in baseball going into that, and the way they were able to pull it off. And it's also kind of crazy. It's almost like this is being written in the most dramatic way possible. The fact that they weren't even able to get to New York until what, like 2 hours before first pitch. As a matter of fact, did you see the T-shirts?
Yeah, the show and go.
The show and go, 4:15 start time or something like that on there. I thought that was kind of funny. By the way to make shirts that fast. That was insane.
Great.
But then on top of that, you know, you've got like the come from behind win that they ended up having yesterday. It's like things are just falling into place for these guys. And Ted, I said this last week. It's now time to officially start giving credit to Chad Tracy, because I think that this is a team that could have given up just mentally. They could have checked out because of how bad things were going. And honestly, we kept saying, you know, is he any good? And the one thing we could give him credit for is that you weren't hearing a lot of drama come out of the locker room. And that's on the manager. That's usually a sign of a good manager. And now he's got these guys obviously playing better than they did under Alex Cora. He's got individual performances and you know, at-bats, smarter baseball, most of these guys have improved since Chad Tracy has taken over. So whether it's sustainable or not, Ted, I agree with you. I don't know. But I do know that what I'm seeing is a manager that has stepped up and should start. We should start giving the guy credit.
Yeah, no doubt, absolutely. He's kind of, you're right. He's always been a steadying force, I think. In, you know, he's responsible for the lineup. You know, ask him. He'll tell you. Mm-hmm. So there, he does deserve credit. I'm curious if there's been a clear and defining philosophical shift in how they do things, because the last six games, they've had a sacrifice bunt in the last six games, which they haven't done in 30 years.
Cora would never have done that on the road in the 10th inning, laying down a bunt to start.
Yeah, so is that now kind of the new standard? Are we truly like seeing this team kind of morph into the Brewers, you know, or the Tampa Bay Rays? Are they now truly a small ball team? I mean, that's kind of what they're designed to be. And so I'm curious if that is a Chad Tracy influence or not. And then the one question I wonder about is, do we think Roman Anthony's coming back? Do we think Marcelo Meyer's coming back? Do we think Trevor Story is coming back?
Ted, I love that you brought that up, because another thing I'm going to give Chad
because
Tracy
I worry
for,
if those guys come back, that this mojo that they have is going to go back to the way it was.
Exactly. And we talked about how, you know, it's obviously Chad Tracy had something to do with sending Roman Anthony down to Florida. He's like, you know what? You are going to go down to Florida. That's where you're going to rehab. Get, you know, and we had a clip from Sean McAdam and talked to Chris Cotillo, who reported on this, and it almost seems punitive. Like almost like he was somebody who they were. My opinion of it is I believe that he was bringing down the vibe of the team, whether he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing or just it was depressing that this guy just wasn't getting any better. Chad Tracy had a heads up and was like, you know what, we need to remove him from the equation until he's back and ready to play.
So we think
let's send him down to Florida.
You think that's what it is? We're not buying what Breslow was selling as far as just too many. There's too many folks in the training room.
Oh, that was the dumbest thing. Breslow thinks we're idiots. Like, Breslow, honestly, when he said that, I'm like, he obviously thinks we're morons. You know, that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
But
any
Rich,
kind of spin ever.
My favorite, though, is when he says, I'm glad you asked that question. Like, he was so excited to answer that question, and his answer was a little bit head scratching for sure, man.
It was like you guys are the dumbest people. You're money mouths to me, you stupid Red Sox fans. That was really the worst answer he could have given. Not enough tables in the room where we put people on tables to get them better on the tables.
I like, those guys are gonna come back, right? I mean, with 68 games left, and you just wonder, is that a good thing? I don't know.
As bad as Duran's playing, I tried to stick up for him a month ago when he had a little hot streak, but he is just dreadful right now. They're carrying him. He's hitting 194. They need Roman to come back. And even if he hits 200 and hits 10 home runs, if he plays left field every day or DHs or whatever, just get Duran out of the lineup. They need Roman back. They need his bat in the lineup.
Wow. Well, he's in the 7-hole right now. Boy, that's not good.
It's not good. All right. Well, we'll take your call, 617-779-7937, because you're right, Ted. This is a weird place for this team to be right now, because after, like, how long have we been talking about how this team needs to sell, they need to get rid of these guys, see what they can get for it. We're at a weird point now where they are a half game out of the playoffs, and what do you do? And Ken Rosenthal has, who obviously is very connected, he has spoken about what he believes the Red Sox mentality is now, seeing that they're going into this All-Star break in a completely different place than they had imagined 3 weeks ago. And we will get to that and your calls right after this in 2 minutes.
Swinging a shot down the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It's hooking. It is out of here. Inside the pole. He picked that one up well. Mona. Adios. And it's 1-0 Red Sox.
Not quite a Willgasm, but fairly close. Fairly close on that one.
That was early in the game.
That was early. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. We'll take your calls at 617-779-7937. Also, you can listen to us on that Odyssey app. It's a great way to hear the show. You can also press the follow button and have the show shot right to your phone, and press the microphone button and record a message for us, launch a take grenade. We play that in the 5 o'clock hour. And right now, your Red Sox are just doing things that none of us, I think even the team, Chad Tracy even seems more surprised than anybody that they are in this position, where now you're a half game out of the playoffs, and what do you do now? My God, I mean, how long ago was it was it 2.5, 3 weeks ago where we had Sam Kennedy on the Greg Hill show saying that they're going to have to pivot? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And now what the hell does this team do? First of all, Ted, what would you do? What, like, if you were in Breslow's situation? Because this is a weird spot, man. It doesn't sound like you have a ton of faith that they can continue, at least not, I mean, obviously, yep, this streak has been insane,
yep,
but at least continue in play winning baseball.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you buy, sell, or stay, or what?
If I'm him, I lean more towards the buy. I don't think you're going to get a lot, really, at this point with so many teams still kind of in it. But Breslow, I mean, he basically fires Alex Cora. So he's betting on himself. He went into the season saying this is going to be a team built on pitching and defense, which that's exactly what it's kind of turning out to be. For me, this is if I'm Craig Breslow, this is his time to kind of show how smart he is. I mean, you know, a lot of the guys he's bringing in are starting to working out. Mm-hmm. So if I'm him, with just with this close, being back into the wild card, to me, I would be more leaning towards the buying side of things. But you know, do you want to trade Sonny Gray? No, because you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. So it would be, to me, if anything, it was going to be he'll buy, and it'll be a tinkering here and there. To me, it's a bet. Clearly, I mean, even though they're hitting in this 9-game win streak, I think they're averaging 5.3 runs per game, which is a lot better than they were doing there for a long time. So. To me, that's where you go, is obviously for hitting, for a bat. I don't think it's going to be a drastic move, Rich. I really don't, but I would lean towards buying you. So are you kidding me? People are pumped for this. People are starting to get back on the train right now. And
people are talking about him. Don't you just notice that? It's something.
And they should. They should. As I said, that they have earned your respect. And I mean, for a while, you know, it was painful to watch these games, and it was painful to cover these games, to be quite honest. Although they were losing so spectacularly that at least they kept it interesting and how bad it was. And then all of a sudden they've turned this around, and as I said, the way they're doing it, it's like they're writing it. Like, it's like it feels like they're writing a story that if for some reason they're able to pull something off this year, we're going to look back and go, can you believe this moment of the season, this moment of the season? When they came back, you know, right before the All-Star break, and then their plane was late, and they, well, you know, for the second time, they had to start a series late because they couldn't travel there. It's really been a kind of a it's like Scanners when the guy's head explodes. I'm sitting here watching this team and not believing what I'm seeing. But it's a great question. Do they buy? Do they sell? Ken Rosenthal chimed in on that today. Let's take a listen.
On June 30th, I wrote this. The surging Red Sox are somehow in the playoff hunt. They had just won 5 straight. And I said you can blame the watered-down American League and the comments to this column. Now, my comments, or the ones I receive on my columns, are always quite lively. But these were exceptionally lively. People thought I was nuts. People said, and I quote, "This is Ken on weed." Then there was a response. "Nah, I think he's huffing paint thinner. He's way too excited for Bud." And then, "Ken loves his big market baseball bootlicking." That's not true. I write about all 30 teams. Now, the Red Sox proceeded at that point to lose 2. And then they won 9 straight on the road. And part of the premise of the column was that their schedule was easing. And it did ease. That road trip was against Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels, against the Chicago White Sox and the New York Mets, who, of course, just gave one away yesterday to give the Red Sox their 9-game road winning streak. This team now, let's look at those wild card standings again. This team, the Boston Red Sox, the team that fired its manager, has had all kinds of injuries, still without Crochet, still without Roman Anthony and others. This team is a half game out in the wild card race. It's incredible. And here we go. Going into the deadline, what will the Red Sox do? I don't think they're selling as of right now. No chance. They've got a chance, and they've got a president of baseball operations. I'm sorry, a chief baseball officer who has been under scrutiny. He's not going to want to concede.
You know what's interesting, Rich?
Ken, I just first have to say before you make a comment that Ken Rosenthal obviously has the nerdiest followers on social media by asking, is Ken on weed?
Well, he wears a bow tie, and what do you expect?
Is he smoking the green? Is that what he said? Some nerdy-ass followers, my friend. Okay, sorry, Ken. That just distracted me when he said that.
So part of the office chatter here before the show, Loftus, our sales guy, says, you know what? Kind of disappointed that they win that game yesterday because this is going to endorse the Moneyball approach, and they're not going to be aggressive at the deadline. They're just going to ride this as long as they can and be happy to be in contention again and not go hard after a piece. And I think there is some part of that where you worry, does this sort of embolden them? Because you said it yourself, Ted. Mm-hmm. This was Breslow's plan, pitching a defense. He didn't think offense was that important, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So do they just continue and not do anything, just stay pat? It feels like they might just be happy with the newfound money and not do a thing. And that would be disappointing.
I do not partake of the tree. Thank you.
I think that would be a mistake because now you have, what is it, Rich? They have our attention now. So to not do anything, considering kind of the bludgeoning they've taken all season long. I mean people have been crushing this team.
And they're still last in home runs, dead last in home runs, second from the bottom in runs scored.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable that they're in a playoff spot.
And so I just think you know what? Can you capitalize on what you did last year? The first, 4 months of the season has been terrible. Clearly, now you got a little something. I mean, for them to not do anything, to be inactive, I think would be a big, big mistake. They would get crushed. They'd get crucified. And
I don't know that they would.
You don't think?
I think there are enough people that are on the fence because you don't really believe that they're good enough.
I don't.
But are they one move away? That would be the next question. Like, would one right-handed bat make the difference and make you believe they're good?
I mean, I would say two would be a little bit. I'd feel a little bit better about it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what was the problem with this for this team in the playoffs last year against the Yankees? Was it pitching or was it hitting? They weren't hitting. There was no offense.
So. You know what? I am sick of half measures with this team at the trade deadline. They do this every single trade deadline. It's such a non-move. They'll make a move for like a relief pitcher or something that doesn't move the needle. And you know what? Breslow, save your job. Save your job. Do something erratic. Mm. Get a big bat in here. This is one of those situations where if I'm Greg Breslow, I want to prove everybody wrong. Everyone who called for his job, Rosenthal, who said that the entire, basically, he's the one who's next. Hell, we crushed that guy. You know what? Save your job, Greg Breslow. Don't go half measure. Get a big bat in here. Because then, you know what may happen? If you get a big bat in here, there is a chance this team can continue playing close to this level. And then, as you were saying, Ken, what if you got Garrett Crochet back? And what if all of a sudden Roman Anthony comes back and is anything close to what he's supposed to be? All of a sudden, you're talking about a team that legitimately has a shot.
I mean, they got to be thinking of that, though, Rich. They got to be thinking about, man, Roman's going to come back. I mean, he's not going to be out. He can't be out for too much longer, please. You kidding me? I mean, maybe. But
I love it. They just sent him away. Just go away. You're depressing me. I mean, go to the Sahara, Florida in July.
Seriously,
and get better.
But so I mean, they're seeing that as like free agent pickups. If when they come, Trevor Story. I'm assuming he's coming back. And then you mentioned Garrett Crochet. Those are big kind of names.
They might say that. This is our trade deadline acquisition. Roman Anthony.
Don't do that.
Yep.
Yeah, don't do that. Because I know that's going to be the excuse, and that shouldn't be the excuse. Craig Breslow, save your job. Go out there and get a big bat. Do the one thing that you did not do in the offseason that you've been most criticized for.
But why would he do that? He's now winning with his method. And what's his resume? Last year he got Dustin May and Steven Matz. No hitting. He got Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia 2 years ago, pitching. Mm-hmm. No, I think they got a catcher, Danny Jansen. That's it. He doesn't go after big offense. You're right. Doesn't feel like that's the way to win.
Yeah. I'm looking.
He hasn't won, though. He hasn't worked.
He's winning now, though.
No, he's not winning. He's not even in the playoffs.
No, you were just praising him. Actually, you weren't. You are not sold on Breslow. That's the one thing Rich is not. Rich gives it all to Tracy.
If he gets a big bat, yes, then I'll be like, finally, you did. You know what? You're a little late on it, but it's about time you finally made the move you were supposed to make. That's been my biggest criticism of him the entire time.
Here's what would be frustrating, Rich, is that if right now I'm, yesterday you look at Romy Gonzalez, he hit in the four hole yesterday. He was 2 days ago. He was the cleanup hitter for the Red Sox in the playoffs last year, like Romy Gonzalez, and it's just not good enough. There's a year later, and here we are. Romy Gonzalez is your cleanup hitter. They need to get a right-handed bat. That would be huge if they did. I just don't trust. Do we trust Craig Breslow to make that mid-season trade?
No.
Joe Ryan. Remember anybody? Remember Joe Ryan? We all thought it was a fait accompli that he was coming here. It didn't happen. I just worry that he's not adept at pulling off a big trade like that in the middle of the season.
Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong, Craig Breslow. I mean, everyone called for you. Everyone said that you're about to get fired, that you are awful at your job. You need a translator. Prove us all wrong. Make a move. Save your job. This is your chance, because how great would it be if you get this bat, everybody's able to come back and get healthy, you can put a gigantic middle finger right in the face of everyone who called you out. And that's all, just so make the move. No half measures. Go all in. And then, Ken, I will finally give there Craig Breslow okay, the credit that you so desperately want me to give him. All right, 617-779-7937. Teddy J, you have like a crystal ball or something. There's something, especially when it comes to the Patriots. I thought the entire time that the Christian Gonzalez deal was going to be, it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Fait accompli. It's like something, it's going to happen, but my God. There was not only somebody that we had on last week that scared me, mm-hmm. an insider, about the situation, but now it seems like he's picking fights with members of the media, and it does not look as ironclad as I thought it was. Teddy J, I want to get your opinion on this when we come back. We'll be right back. Ah, yes, it is Rich, Ken, and the return of our buddy Ted Johnson right here in the Catch Us Law studios. No fee unless you win. It is 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call here at 617-779-7937. And, you know, Ted, it always amazes me when somebody like you who's played the game can see stuff that idiots like us who have never played the game don't see. And in this case, it was a situation where it involved the Crafts, and we're sitting back and we're watching something new. In that aspect, it's that they are going to have to dole out an unprecedented amount of money for just a handful of players over the next couple of years. You've got, obviously, what happened with A.J. Brown. Now you have, next year, a Drake May extension that's on the horizon, and you know that they're going to have to set the market with that. But today, they are looking at Christian Gonzalez, one of the best corners in the game. As a matter of fact, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN came on, said he's the third best, but I think there's an argument to be made that he's one of the better ones. There's been talk about
not that he said that. That's a polling of league executives and front office people, right?
That's
and
right.
And coaches, yeah.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. Jeremy Fowler came on with us, Ted, and I know that I have been this way. I forget, Ken, how you thought, but I'm like, well, there's no way they don't pay for this guy. Mm-hmm. The Patriots, obviously, I mean, they just went to the Super Bowl. Why would you take a step back?
Right.
Why wouldn't you once again go in? You got A.J. Brown. You've got a quarterback that, you know, this is the year that he's supposed to ascend, even though he was excellent and in the MVP running last year. He's got a brand new, amazing tool to throw to. And now, why would you risk taking a step backwards at one of the most important positions? But Ted, you weren't so sure about the Patriots spending this kind of money. And I want to play this clip for you because this is Jeremy Fowler, who he had on as an insider for ESPN. And he had this to say about the negotiations between Christian Gonzalez and the Patriots.
To run a tangent, I'd be shocked if they would even entertain trading him at any point. I think that would be a non-starter for them. These are complicated deals, but and I'm told there hasn't been a lot of progress. That's partly why he missed many, you know, part of the OTAs, and it's been a slow summer. Now, this is a slow time. We're in July 8th. There aren't a lot of deals getting done on July 8th. So my guess is they'll reconvene around training camp and try this again.
Okay. The fact that there has not been a lot of talk as of late is that things are quiet between the Crafts and Christian Gonzalez. What does that make you think there, Ted?
It makes me think that the Patriots are going to slow play this a little bit. If it gets done anytime soon, it's going to be in the next 6 weeks. It'll get done, you know, August 25th, you know, 5-6 weeks from now, or else it's not going to get done until after the season. That's how I look at it. I don't see it, you know, any other way. My gut is telling me at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to be, they've had 7 first round draft picks prior to Christian Gonzalez that never got a second contract. So this would be the first rounder that they have signed to a second contract in the last 8 drafts. And that, to me, that's telling. I just think this, I mean, with the Drake May contract on the horizon, I just feel as if they're going to slow play this a little bit. And I'm just curious how Christian Gonzalez reacts. I could see them. I think Bill did this sometimes. If they couldn't come to an agreement, they'll just kick in a few extra million for Christian this year. You know, they don't sign him to a long-term deal. They just say, hey, we're going to write you up a new contract, and we're going to throw in a couple extra million just to kind of satisfy you to get through the season. before they pick up contract negotiations again. I feel as if this thing won't get done because they haven't set the market on one of their own players ever. So I don't see them all of a sudden doing this for the first time in the history of the franchise.
But I don't think that's going to work, Rich. Do you throw in a couple million at Christian Gonzalez with the leverage he has and the agent that he has?
It's not going to work. And you're right. The agent has a reputation for getting every last dollar, which, by the way, good agent. Great. Awesome. That's the kind of agent that you wanted as a player. But here's the one thing I'm worried about, Ted. So, you know, there was talk about how basically Christian Gonzalez, the rumor is that his agent is going to try to not only make him the highest paid at that position, but the highest paid defensive player in the league. My opinion of that is that that's what they're going to start with. And they're going to end up, if they do end up making a deal, settling on, no, you're not the highest paid defensive player in the league. You're the highest paid corner in the league at that position. And that's going to be the compromise that they would end up making if it happens. But I want to ask you, Ted, is the following clip the Patriots playing a little dirty, trying to get some bad info out there about just how valuable Christian Gonzalez is? Here is Greg Bedard. Greg Bedard, who I think is a good reporter. I think he's someone who, when he hears something, he'll report it. He won't say where he heard it from. It could be someone who's a decision maker, you could have overheard it, or he could have gotten a phone call, possibly from someone who makes those decisions and wants it out there. But I think that nonetheless, this is something that he actually heard. Let's take a listen. Here's Greg Bedard talking about Christian Gonzalez.
One part on that, one knock on Gonzalez. Some scouts and coaches believe he's not physical enough. I would say you could include some people with the Patriots also thinking that. Quote, his game is a bit finesse at times.
Okay.
Huh.
So Bedard gets that out there, and Christian Gonzalez himself retweets that and says, Greg Bedard got something new to say at me every day, LOL.
I'll be honest, if that's all you got, if you're the Patriots, that's all you got is he's not that physical, then all right, have fun with that. Because that, the Patriots, and Belichick would do this with our contracts. Get into the analytics. If I'm Christian Gonzalez, I'm saying, what is the team's defensive DVOA with me or without me? How much man to man do we play, and what is the passer rating versus man to man when I am guarding their number one receiver? All of these analytics are going to hugely favor Christian Gonzalez. I mean, he crushes it in those kind of analytics right there. So to me, if you're the Patriots, other than you're not that physical, and oh, you've missed, I don't know, maybe 25-30% of the games, because he missed most of his rookie season. And he missed a few games to start the season last year, which isn't, too bad. But really, the Patriots don't have really much to stand on when it comes to that. I just think the analytics favor Christian Gonzalez. And if that's your big kind of, ooh, he's not that physical, good luck with that. Because I think he's debunked that. I think he's more physical than what Bedard's suggesting there.
If I'm his agent, you know what I do? I go to the Patriots and say, here's the Super Bowl. I want you to edit out every part of every part that isn't embarrassing. And the only thing that will be left is Christian Gonzalez's play.
Yeah.
Because every other part of the Patriots' play during the Super Bowl was just awful and tough to watch. But the one guy that showed up in the biggest moment is the guy that you're deciding right now whether or not you're going to pay. And that's all you need if I'm
that
agent.
He could have one touchdown late to Matt Collins. That was a nice little throw by Drake when it was like 50-12 or whatever.
right. And edit out the garbage time, of course. We edit that part out as well.
But I think it's an interesting contract because of what's on the line. They have their first four opponents are playoff teams with really good quarterback play. They're on the road playing the defending Super Bowl champs. They need Christian Gonzalez out there to get off to a hot start when you have a pass rush that was dead last in sacks last year and really, I think, has only improved just, marginally this year. They need to have studs on the back end to kind of hold up with what they have in the deficiencies on the front end. So him getting in and playing and right and getting off to a hot start, to me, is imperative for this defense and this team to get in the direction where they need to get to early in the season.
All right, we're taking your calls next, 617-779-7937. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson from the Catchus Law Studios. No fee unless you win, and we'll take your calls next. Also, the Home Run Derby is tonight, and I'm telling you, there's enough statistics out there to say that maybe it's not the best thing for the players. Hopefully that won't happen this evening, but we'll give you a preview of that right after this. Oh, there you go, Ted.
There we go. There we go. Might have been requested. I was watching a movie the other day. I forget what it was, but...
Into the Wild.
Is that okay? But it wasn't...
Is this the one it's in?
Well, I don't know, but there's a couple other songs she has. It's with the ukulele. Plays the ukulele.
Big Hard Sun is this song. I thought it was in Into the Wild, but I could be wrong.
It might be.
I think he was
on that soundtrack, yeah.
Yeah, Big Hard Sun movie.
It's Into the Wild. It's about the guy that drove to Alaska and Boston, lived there until he died.
Chris McCandless.
That book rules, by the way. Yeah, Chris McCandless, you're right. That book is awesome. And I give up on books easy. Like if you don't get me in the first like 30, 40 pages, I'm done. That movie, or book rather, had one of the best villains, and it's that kid. He just was the dumbest human being, and he just said, I'm going to go out into the wilderness, and I'm going to live on my own, eat off berries, and he put so many other people's lives in danger by doing it. It was just, but it's a sad story. It really is, but it's a great, great book, Into the Wild. There you go, Rich's Book Corner. You ever get the chance
and
to read
Ted's,
that one?
Yeah.
And Ted's, yeah, absolutely. Good choice. I actually really like that Eddie Vedder song. Matter of fact, that's... better than a lot of Pearl Jam stuff.
Hey, now.
You got to start like the Pearl Jam. Socks are back.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of the Sox, let's go to David on line one. David, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, David.
Okay. Good show. First time caller. Was wondering if you can explain to me why Sonny Gray didn't make the All-Star team and and why Ranger Suarez was chosen over him. You know, he's got so much better statistics than Ranger Suarez had.
That's a good question, David. Ken, let me get your take on that, because I honestly can't figure out why the hell Sonny Gray's not an All-Star.
The only reason you can come up with, to me, remember he ripped the Yankees, didn't like playing there?
Hmm.
Yankees are very influential.
Ooh.
John Schneider of the Blue Jays is the manager. Hmm. However... I think there's a lot of input from the manager, and maybe he and Booney are tight. I don't know. I'm looking for conspiracy theories, but maybe Sonny Gray opening up his mouth in the offseason cost him that, because he should have been at least the replacement for like Schlittler or one of these guys.
Is it even debatable?
No.
Like Sonny's numbers are so good.
No, we got 11 wins. He's like one off the league high. I mean, it's embarrassing, that he's not in there.
They hate us because they ain't us.
I think it could be.
Let's go to Chuck on line two. Chuck, what's up, buddy? How's it going?
Hey, Chuck.
Thanks very much for taking the call. Before I say anything, before the call ends, I want to know what is going on with Wilson Contreras. I haven't heard a thing. I heard he was, appealing a 10-day suspension and then blackout. I don't know if he's dead.
He got a 5-game suspension. He's got one left to serve, so he'll be out for the first game Friday, but then he can play in the night game Friday night. And he's in the Derby tonight.
Thank goodness for that. Okay. Now, I think he's great. He's the big hitter that you need and want and everything. But I do agree that all the teams that have been playing during the streak, was the 15 games, they've won 13 out of 15, right?
Mm-hmm. 17 of 22.
Okay. They're all losers. They're all, lost seasons and everything, especially the New York Yankees, which we swept in 4 games. Everybody agrees that the Yankees can't hit, pitch, run, field, nothing. And that's because they're not spending enough on the payroll, obviously. You know, that's what you gotta understand that.
They have some big names injuries right now, too.
Yeah. I appreciate the call. Thank you for calling. You know what? The Sonny Gray thing is confusing, and I don't know if it's there's some behind-the-scenes scheming or whatever. All I know is that he mentioned Wilson Contreras, and tonight he's going to be in the Home Run Derby. I didn't realize the Home Run Derby, they always change things around, trying and making it more entertaining. Whereas I think the MLB All-Star Game is the only All-Star Game between the major four sports that's worth watching. The Home Run Derby, I've kind of checked out on.
Well, not tonight. You got your man Wilson in it. Come on, you're not going to watch on Netflix tonight?
Listen, and that also sucks that they're doing it on Netflix and they're making it so you have to have a subscription to watch this thing. But either way, it's gotten boring to me over the past several years. And I know that there's people who raved about last year's. Was that the one that was like, edge of your seat excitement? To me, I don't care as much because it just feels like it drags. Mm-hmm. And that's why this tonight's home run derby could end up being one of the worst. And I don't mean to, you know, crap on something that's got a loved Red Sox player on it, but they changed the rules this year. Did you guys hear about this?
Yeah, but this should be better for you. It should be quicker, no?
No, it would be slower because they're taking away the clock. So 8 players are still going to make up the field, same as years past. But yep. Instead of trying to hit as many homers as they can during timed rounds, participants will now start each round with a finite number of swings, 20 in round 1, 15 in round 2, and 15 again in the final round. So there is not going to be that clock. So you're going to have these guys taking their sweet time for all 20 pitches.
The Gatorade between each pitch?
Mm.
Yeah, it is going to slow things down on what already feels like an event that absolutely drags.
But 15 swings shouldn't take that long.
I don't think it'll take that long, Rich. See, I'm kind of curious to think it might be better. I think you'll have more home runs.
Yep. Well, maybe less total home runs. But why? But I feel like hitting like 40 or the best round I think ever was like 40 or 41.
Okay, so you think the clock was
I think you could hit more. Yeah, okay. The guys were exhausted. Okay. And leading to what you were talking about last week, Rich, was some of these guys were like blowing their arm out or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's safer.
Yeah, now that is one thing that does make it better. And I was thinking about that as well, is that you're not like, like hammering the thing that's completely screwed up these guys.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there have been, you know, people who, you know, work for these teams who don't like their players to be in the home run derby for that very reason.
Right.
Who was it? Was it Adrian Gonzalez when he was here who completely effed himself up in the home run derby afterwards? He wasn't the same. I don't know. That Adrian Gonzalez era was just a nightmare. So I'm not. Everything seems awful that happened then. But yeah, I don't like the fact that they took the timer away.
This is kind of like Dale Ordway at the mic. They're going to pace themselves nicely.
Yeah.
You know how Dale Ordway took like a good 20 seconds between jokes?
Yes. That seems exactly.
And it delivered. I think I liked it.
I do like, however, like I was taking a look at what the Red Sox have coming up schedule wise, because as great as this tear has been. You know, I mean, the Yankees obviously was impressive. Ted, you and I disagree. I think that White Sox series was very impressive just because of – I don't think the White Sox had lost a series at home yet. I believe they were undefeated, and they were on somewhat of a tear. But if you take a look at what's coming up, you've got obviously Tampa Bay first. It's if you look at the next, like, several series, like the next month, it's like a barbell. You've got, like, a monster at the beginning with Tampa Bay, who are 56-38. And then it goes – 3 versus Baltimore, they're under 500.
Mm-hmm.
3 versus Toronto, they're under 500.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 4 versus the Athletics in Sacramento. They're way under 400. But then you got the Dodgers at the end of the month, and that is obviously going to be a kick in the ass. And then 3 against the White Sox, who are legit this year, as I was saying before. So if you add all of those together all the way through the first week of August, it's about a little over a 500 average. So if they can continue to play as well as they do, I mean, listen, man, I think that you have a team right now who is starting to individually, every player seems to be getting better. They're playing smarter baseball. And if for some strange reason Roman Anthony's hand magically heals itself and he wants to get out of that fiery inferno of Florida in July and he comes back and has any kind of contribution to this team, then maybe, just maybe, this is a team that could make some noise.
Well, honestly, they're third in baseball in earned run average and third in outs above average defensively.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy is that, seeing that they're the worst in home runs?
Right. And you have Ranger Suarez, who you signed for big money, who's an all-star.
Yep.
You just talked about Sonny Gray. He should be an all-star.
Yep.
And you have Crochet if he comes back. If you don't add to this team, if you're in a playoff race-ish and try, then that is unforgivable, because that is potentially the best rotation in the American League.
Think about
if not,
who were the starting pitchers going into the playoffs last year?
They had Crochet in game 1, and he won game 1.
And then it was
Early lost game 3. Bayo got shelled in game 2. That was the big thing. And then Early was fine, but they lost 4-0 in game
3. But realistically, you didn't really have a 2 and a 3.
No.
You know, so now you have a 2 or 3 and a 4.
Giolito, like, hanging around.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Giolito, yeah. So, and they were one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year.
Right.
So now they're one of the best. Can we just get a little pop?
It's the most obvious need in baseball history, a right-handed power-hitting bat. Go get the guy. Ketel Marte, if the Diamondbacks slump, again, go back to him. And my new obsession is Jeremy Peña with the Astros. And the Astros are kind of fading, so Let's see. And he signed for more than just 1 year. So you get a shortstop for a couple years. You get rid of Trevor Story. Bang.
Come on, Breslow. Save your job.
Let's go.
Make a big move, baby. Save your job.
Play the Peanuts song. Let's go. World Series.
I just worry that the momentum that they had going into the All-Star break will not be there when they get out. And it's just the teams, you know, a lot of times that happens, man. They were riding high. And then you take a little
that's
time.
Why, that's why Contreras tonight, if he wins the home run derby, this is going to spark the second half. It's all on the line tonight.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Wilson, let's go, Bubba. Let's do it, man. No pressure.
All right. Give us a call, 617-779-7937. There's somebody who disagrees with me. I love that. Who does not like my take on the home run derby. And on top of that, Ted, I have been dying to ask you about this whole is Tom Brady a traitor to the New England Patriots thing. This is the one of the more ridiculous, awesome stories that has come out recently. And why it's coming out now, I have no idea. But we will get to that. Also, your calls next, 617-779-7937. 2 minutes. We'll be back.